This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn, Sharitz and Shaoning. Now, firms can only collect a maximum of 20% commission off fares paid to drivers using e-hailing applications. And this is according to the Transport Minister, Anthony Look, who said this last Friday. He noted that there cannot be other commissions, as certain e-hailing companies play tricks and use different names other than commission, because he questioned the difference between a fee and a commission, saying the driver still has to pay.
So this is interesting because 20% now is a cap. Previously, I think it has gone as high as 25, if I'm not mistaken, depending on the different type of sort of service that these drivers provide. And so Anthony Lowe also said that the maximum commission that can be levied on taxi drivers is just 10%. So there is a difference between private e-hailing drivers and the taxi drivers. So in addition, I think how Grab makes money is, they receive fees from drivers across its various services. Drivers deposit credits into the account, and the corresponding amount is deducted for every booking that they complete.
Well, I particularly like the Transport Minister's Anthony Look's comments, right? Where he came out to say is, don't play with words. I speak English as well, as he said during a press conference when asked what's the difference between a fee and a commission. This is slightly unusual because we, as far as I know, there are no restrictions in terms of how much these e-hailing companies can actually take from their drivers, right? Except for Malaysia. So in a way, maybe this is protecting the drivers in terms of how much income that they can make and not be exploited by e-hailing companies.
Yeah, and I mean, the costs of riding e-hailing now has increased, and especially with the PSV license being introduced and now with the insurance as well. But as you mentioned, it hasn't been regulated, but I think the way it was regulating itself was through competition, because there are a number of e-hailing drivers in the country.
Yeah, and I guess in an ideal situation, this would be driven by market forces, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, here in Malaysia, you have one clear e-hailing provider, and that's Grab, because Grab has a significant majority market share here in the country. You know, when you talk about the other players like MyCar, SoCar, they're a fraction of the market. So at the end of the day, it's still up to Grab to make that decision, or at least, well, now up to the Transport Minister, it might seem. Now, Anthony Look also announced that strict enforcement on the new requirements for all drivers to have a PSV license, that has been deferred for 3 months. And this is to allow more time for drivers to obtain the license, given that only a small number has done so, which caused a disruption to e-hailing services. Mm. And we talked about this a little bit on Friday when the PSV license deadline came into effect. And you actually had quite a lot of difficulty finding a Grab at the time.
Yeah, it was that. And also, I think the price went up at the same time. So I can imagine how chaotic it would have been for those who actually rely on this e-hailing services. Number one, I mean, I could imagine how busy the HQ for all the e-hailing offices are. I mean, I'm sure a lot of drivers were lining up trying to get their PSV done. At the same time, those who are going out for lunch on Friday, who rely on, on Grab to just get them from point A to B, how frustrating it would have been. And taxi would have had a feel of a day on that day.
Just curious, Sharitz, how was your fare this morning?
Not too bad.
I think it's back to normal.
Okay. I think perhaps this whole 3 months thing is
the issue now is, will drivers just go and comply with it? And or, again, in true Malaysian style, wait till the very last moment?
Well, I guess the ones that have waited to the last moment would probably see this as a reprieve. So they're already, presumably, already in the system and already undergoing the process. So the 3 months will just give them time to complete it, perhaps.
Yeah, comply is one thing, though. Passing rates is another thing. I don't know. I mean, 16,000. I mean, the previous stat that we have was 16,000 that underwent for the test and only 10,000 passed. I wonder how difficult it is for the question. I hope they don't ask any big questions. The idea is to get them to try and pass as much as possible.
Yeah. I had a driver one this time, I think about a month ago, that I asked him how's the PSV license thing going, and he said, "Oh, actually, tomorrow I'm going to take the test again." And I said, "Oh, okay, again?" So I failed it three times, and I was like, "Oh,
interesting."
Okay.
To have to to have a look at this question.
And I'm like, this gives me so much confidence in considering the fact that you're driving my Grab right now. Exactly. But yeah, I think for him it was a language barrier that gave him quite a lot of difficulty, because I think the test was conducted in Malay and his Malay was not very good. So yeah, that was just an unfortunate situation all around. And of course, if you look at e-hailing regulations in the region, in Singapore, a bill is also being tabled to Parliament proposing that the Public Transport Council be able to regulate private hire vehicle operators in the new point-to-point passenger transport industry bill. So if passed, the bill will give the PTC, which currently regulates bus and train fares, the discretion to set a pricing policy for fares charged by ride-hailing operators like Grab and Gojek.
Yeah, so this is interesting because operators may have to spell out components for ride-hail fares and also how fares are calculated. They may also have to set the maximum and minimum fare ranges. So right now, ride-hailing operators are free to set their own fares and how these fares are set. And that includes during peak hours as well as the so-called surge pricing is likely and, which is largely opaque.
Yeah, the issue I think that there has been this debate, and not only just in Singapore but also Malaysia, mm-hmm. is the differential in terms of the fares charged by the regular taxis and also the Grab. Because let's say for Malaysia, we know what the fare is on a per kilometre basis. Whether it is the blue taxi or it's the regular white and red ones, there is a set fare. So of course, there's some complaints by consumers that they are shocked when the bill comes. They say, I didn't realise it was so much, because you just kind of automatically press accept. You just take the ride, right? And then you really... Later on, you're like, oh no, it's so much more. So I guess they're trying to standardize it. And it's again, like, why do we enforce our taxi drivers and Grab drivers to take the same test, the same PSV license? Is to, in a way, create a level playing field.
Yep, and I think Indonesia is also introducing or enforcing e-hailing regulations in Jakarta, Bandung, Yogyakarta, Surabaya and Makassar, capping the tariff there at 14 US cents per kilometre. Mm. And Indonesia is the centre of Gojek particularly. And Gojek is also expanding to cover quite a lot more services and offering a lot more essentially courier services, but for actual services like massage services or cleaning services. That's going to be quite an interesting market to see how they expand into.
That's right. I mean, that would be something interesting to introduce in Malaysia. So I guess now, just to extend more what you have just said earlier, Xiao Ning, so it really pushes us back into trying to get all of us out of our comfort zone again and start deliberating mm-hmm. prices, because it used to be the perception that taxis were much more expensive than the ride-hailing, but now I don't think it's no longer the case. Sometimes it's just a matter of getting a taxi on the side of the road could end up being much cheaper than actually waiting to get a ride.
Provided they follow the meter.
Yeah.
And which is my number one bugbear. But
to think that all this debacle has made them learn their lesson. At least I have this, I harbour that hope.
One can hope.
Yes.
Now, in other transportation news this morning, a group of businessmen led by former AirAsia Group Berhad chairman Adato Pahawin Abdul Rajab is said to be seeking about 1 billion ringgit from a Japanese lender in order to support its takeover bid for Malaysia Airlines through its vehicle Najah Air. So talks are apparently still in the early stages, and there's no guarantee a deal will happen. And this is according to sources who told The Edge. Now, if the deal materialises, the Japanese lender will become the main funding source for Najah Air's takeover bid for the airline.
So this move comes after 6 months, after the six-man group met Prime Minister Tun Mahathir on July 3rd to express its interest in helping the government turn around the national carrier. And it is understood that the group's plan to take over a minority stake in the airline in a debt for equity swap, and they also want control over the board and management.
Yeah, apart from Najah Air, Tun Mahathir has noted that the government has received three other offers from companies interested in taking over Malaysian Airlines. He has said that no decision has been made on the offers yet, as the government needs to carefully consider all proposals.
And so we've also had some news out of Malaysia Airlines because their former CEO, Tan Sri Abdul Aziz Abdul Rahman, as well as the president of the National Union of Flight Attendants Malaysia, or NUFAM, Ismail Nasiruddin, they've come out to say no to a full privatisation of MAB, as well as a no to job cuts and to retain MAB as the national carrier if the acquisition by private parties is the way to go in order to revive it. They said that the best option would be a joint venture with the government, other than Khazanah Nasional Berhad's stake in MAB. and they argued that a full private ownership would actually undermine national interests.
Yeah, so there were certain things that the government should not let go, you know, to safeguard the national carrier, as well as, you know, we're looking at national interests, especially what is it that MAS has been known for, to serve
unprofitable routes,
yes,
right?
Underserved areas. Mm-hmm. And MEB should be monitored by the Prime Minister's office or Minister of Finance to reduce Khazanah's stake on the sole shareholder in the airline to eliminate any internal noises.
Yeah, last Wednesday, Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir was also reported as saying that the government was willing to give up its majority stake in Malaysia Airlines Berhad with two conditions, that there will be no more layoffs and the airline's identity will be retained. Now, recently, veteran newsman Datuk Kadir Jassin claimed that Khazanah's board rejected a proposal to shut down Malaysian Airlines and the government's four turnaround initiatives costing almost 25 billion ringgit with the retrenchment of 6,000 employees had failed.
Now, it was also reported that a Malaysia Aviation Group, the holding company of MAB, is formulating a new strategy to revive the airline. The government is also apparently open for any external proposals or partnerships, including from neighbouring countries like Singapore Airlines.
I think what's interesting about Malaysian Airlines is that it's been through a lot of turnaround. It's cut routes, it's changed bosses. But at the end of the day, it's still a problem that cannot seem to be resolved.
Indeed, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it much more in the months to come as well. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.